finally, our 2024 La Misión trip recap episode. So I'd say you can categorize KookCast episodes in one of two ways. The episodes where we have a guest on the show, and the ones where Coach Ev and I go back and forth on a given topic. This episode might be the only one from a year's worth that doesn't quite fall into either box exclusively. It's going to start off with a recording Coach Ev and myself made shortly after both weeks wrapped up. I guess we're kind of debriefing the trip with each other. It feels semi-vulnerable. We're not just high-fiving and tooting our own horns the whole time, but we're talking about what we learned as coaches and taking note on what to continue improving for the next trip. That's not to say we aren't positive about it all and proud of the improvements we've made from the year before, but I think this episode is a little bit of a flip of the script, where instead of focusing on a topic that will help you improve your surfing, we're more in the mindset of what we did and what we can improve as coaches. After we wrap that segment up, we're going to flow into the recording we grabbed while sitting down for our final dinner with our first and then the second group. Shout out to James, Steven, Angela, and Jonathan, as well as our local friend Mariano. You'll know when one segment ends and the next begins because you'll feel the vibe shift from two coaches reflecting to the dynamic of a group who just spent the last week together eating good, surfing hard, chilling at sunset, and getting to know each other. It's just a few short clips pulled from an hour-long recording, but I wanted to share with those students the memory of how we were feeling on that last night before we headed back to the States. Same deal for group two. A few sound bites from a huge recording that was rolling as we sat down for an equally sized last meal of the trip. Edgar, Sam, Sky, Frisco, Anthony, and Deb, along with lunch lady Jack and local friend Mariano once again. We just want to say thank you to everyone who came and spent that time with us in Baja. It was a great learning and overall experience for us, and we hope we were able to share a bit of the magic of that place with you. This episode is sponsored by our favorite wetsuit brand, Crooked Wetsuits. Make sure you check them out at crookedsurf.com and follow them on Instagram at crookedsurf. Here's our 2024 La Misión surf trip recap. Okay, so let's do our recap. 2024 La Misión surf trip to Baja, and just another great year.
I mean, we definitely, you know, just like anything, the repetitions bring just comfortability and you know, just confidence in what type of experience we're bringing. You know, it's been a dream of ours to kind of bring that holistic approach to a surf trip and really not just focus on just the surfing, you know, everything that goes into rolling as a team, growing as a team, and celebrating as a team.
Yeah, I really like that, and I can definitely say personally that there's always a slight, you know, pull to the surfing aspect of it, because, you know, we call it a surf trip, and we have all these great shots of great waves from previous years of doing the surf trip, so it's like, oh, you want to fill the shoes, you know, and like, you know, prove the work, like it's there. But then as we go through the weeks, and you know, first of all, you know, the way we work and the stuff we do in the surf, it doesn't actually require like world-class surf, even though we end up always finding great waves.
Right.
But yeah, there's that like desire to like, oh, we got to get it. And I'm just still being reminded and getting better at realizing like, no, we're training. We're learning how to be lifelong surfers, not just go on a 1 week surf trip and have a lot of fun, but to go on this trip. Yeah, we end up having fun if you have the right attitude, which everyone always does, mm-hmm. but also walk away from that week with something that you carry on to the rest of your surfing that makes not just your surfing in that week better, but like from there on out. It kind of reminds me of the cliche, if you give a man a fish, he has dinner. But if you teach him to fish, he can always get dinner or whatever it goes, you know, and that's kind of our... It's a good basis or a good theme for how we try to teach. It's like, yeah, giving you a fish right now feels great and fills your belly right now. But tomorrow when we're not there to help you, then what?
Yeah.
You know, and we want our people to be able to go to the beach, see the ocean the way we see it, roll with their friends the way we roll with our crew, get waves the way we get waves, whether they're good or bad, because that's something that you can never control, that you can't always just seek out good waves. It's just not always available. Mm-hmm. And be able to surf them all the time, and that's what makes surfing really fun, is when you're a good surfer, you don't need good waves. You can just be good in all the waves and have fun in all the kinds of conditions.
Absolutely. These two trips actually were like a great test for us to do just that. You know, we had some adverse conditions. We had some giant swell in both weeks. But it ended up kind of teaching us that, look, we really do need to be doing more training out in front of the house, especially on days that we know are going to be too big for, you know, our other little spots, our other little training zones. If it's just going to be big and stormy everywhere, then we might as well figure out how to get some good work done right in front of the house, come home to hot showers, come home to, you know, early lunch with Jack. And that's something that I really am proud about these two trips and these two teams, how willing they were to put the time in out front and basically help us learn how to do some lesson plans right out front with even total beginners.
Right. That was a really big lesson for me as well. You know, it's a big deal to saddle up and go out and find surf, you know, all the boards, all the gear, all the people, you know, just people and their schedules and their this and I need this. And, you know, time just kind of gets taken up in all these little ways. And next thing you know, it's a while later before you're actually on the road, let alone in the water somewhere else. So why do all that? Like you said, you know, if you know it's going to be probably similar, you know, may as well just work out front, especially because a lot of the work we were doing can be done on the inside or in these little zones that we would kind of specify, create like a field around, not a field, but like a border, boundaries, you know, because one thing I was realizing is, and I've known this, but it's just another reminder, when people look at the ocean, they see the whole ocean. You know, they see the entire thing, all the white water everywhere, the big thundering outside bombing sets, you know, and even on the inside where all these little runners are, they see just white water, you know, and rips and just, so it's an overwhelming picture to look at and imagine yourself being a part of. And I was really proud that not only did we show our students, but show ourselves, like, to teach people how to see the ocean in a way that you can actually still surf and to kind of start becoming a little more selective in your sight and what you see. And rather than see all the whitewater, see the few little pockets that are running lefts and rights inside and halfway out. And yes, of course, the outside too, but, you know, we're mostly not going out there with our students. But just seeing it as like a ski slope or a mountain where you don't have to go to the double black diamond from the peak of the mountain. You can hit the bunny slopes right at the base.
Right. Yeah. The footage review really helped us with that. We're like, oh yeah, look at it. When we're just looking at this section of the ocean, Right. Look at all these great little waves running past us all over the place. Those are the ones we're going for. And again, it looks just completely overwhelming to the students. But that's another reason why it's so important. Our new tactic is just get in the water that first day and get everybody basically start the process of getting acclimated to a really gnarly beach break right in front of your house, your true training grounds, the place that made both of your coaches the surfers they are today. Let's get them out right away. Let's shake off the nerves. Let's get a session under our belt. And really, it's so important to see where our students are, because so many of the students and the team members coming, this is our first look at them in the ocean, first time in the ocean with them. So that was a really big thing that we hit on, just getting in the water and starting the process early and not having this unknown about where our students are at.
Yeah, that was, again, I mean, I feel like this recap is more a recap of what we learned, really, you know, but knowing where they're at, jumping right in and using the bunny slope to just, and so one thing I want to clear up with people is, like, we're not sending them out into the mayhem. You know, we're controlling how we do this. You know, it's like I always get the question every year for prospective trip participants. They're like, it sounded like the beach breakout in front's really gnarly and really big and this and that. It's like, yeah, but we're not sending you out to just keep battling through whitewater and just getting worked and fighting and fighting and fighting. We have a way of approaching it that's actually very reasonable, high repetition, super dense practice. It's like the most valuable work you're going to do on the trip.
Yep.
But why would we just take you to the epic long wave if what you're going to do there is the same what you'll do at this, what seems like a messy all over the place beach break?
Right.
So you may as well use the beach break that's right in front of us. Here we go, like walk down to the beach and do it and do the practice and get the reps in so that when we get to the quality great wave, you can actually surf it, you know, and actually take advantage of a setup that's going to allow you a long ride. But it was almost killing me a little bit to be at the epic wave and to see people surfing it the same way they would on a whitewater wave right out in front of the house. It's like, wait a minute, why are we surfing this epic wave if we can't surf it? You know what I mean? And it was just a great lesson, like no hard feelings to anybody, just a great lesson to us. Get the training done first.
Right.
And I liked how we kicked off second week with get right in the water on the day of arrival, doing our training and just see where people are at with their board control skills. Are they able to pick off little waves? Even the whitewater, it doesn't have to be open face, and press up and set their rail and make progress to a reform or to open face. That's a real tell in who you are as a surfer, in your board control, in your ability. Again, like this isn't like the rides that you're trying to tell your friends about when you go home. This isn't the glory, the glamour. It's the proof to us that you're ready for the quality wave, that you can do it.
Yeah, we learned to flip the trip on its head. You know, we used to always like try to like ease into it, when really what we need is high repetitions. Let's get this press up rail set and some strength in your paddling and those press ups through whitewater. Let's get all that going before we even go and try to find epic down the line waves and
right and this over the rocks and all these like obstacles.
Yeah, and the mud and all this stuff. but it just goes right into like one of our first little notes here is the students that were coming to us, like basically pure beginners, they were the ones who were willing to really focus in on this press up rail set situation practice, and like they weren't trying to even do a stand up and fall, you know, go down in a big heap. They were just the quickest ones to really stay on task and keep working this press up rail set and keep working the fundamentals of board control skills and leave the stand up for later, basically trusting their coaches. And they were the ones who at the end of the trip had made the most progress because they had basically just kind of stuck with us, trusted us and stuck with our little lesson plan of we can't really move on until you have this press up rail set beat into you to where it's total instinct and it just happens naturally.
Right.
So it was really
right. That was so much fun to see that in a week you can do real work. You know, I think any realistic person should ask themselves is like, can I really get better in a week, you know, of surfing? That's not a long time in the grand scheme of your surfing life.
Right.
You know, that's nothing actually. 7 days straight of surfing, it's really not a lot to change. Unless, however, you follow these lesson plans that focus on our fundamentals and really ignore the destination and just focus on the next step and do it again and do it again. And just willing to do one more forever is just something, a concept I love. And I gotta shout out our second week's MVP, Edgar, for being the epitome of that personality, who never had a, like, he didn't show any kind of anxiety about like, when are we going to do a stand-up? When are we going to go down? When are we going to go to like some epic wave? When, you know, and it was like, it was so refreshing, and it didn't even reveal itself to the end too. That was the best part. Mm-hmm. You know, he just kind of silently did his thing, and like, you know, you almost don't make, like, you don't get realized when you're just quiet and doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So, you know, it just kind of stays out of our mind and eyes. It's just like, okay, yeah, he's doing it good, but without much of our, like, I don't know, like, he wasn't loud about it in a visual way, I mean.
Right.
However, at the end of the trip, when it just so happened that we got perfect down the line waves, beautiful setup, and all of a sudden, now he's so loud because he was doing incredible work.
Right.
The press pieces. Up, rail set, all the pieces coming together. And then it was to the point where we were shouting like, stand up, stand up. And he's getting these, and not to mention the beautiful stand up, because he practiced that so many times, isolated, slowed down in that mechanical step-by-step approach that we have to it. And it was just so smooth and beautiful. And I really want to encourage our future trip people to be that way, you know, to be so focused and steadfast on the isolated principles, skills, and lesson plans that we're working on, and trust that that's what makes it all come together. You know, we're just removing parts of the engine, polishing them up, getting them nice and clean, and then putting it back in. Yes, we know you want the whole engine to work beautifully and together, but in order for that to happen, you have to piece by piece, take it apart, make sure everything's right in alignment and working properly, and then put it back together. And that's not done in one day. It's too complex.
Right. No, this is, we learned a lot about how to run this trip, you know, and how to guide our students. And one of the things we've always talked about and known about is just like to help them pace their trip, their 7 days in the water. But now we're realizing we actually have to enforce it. You know, like we're doing, like Coach was talking about our first day out there in this big giant Law Mess lineup, and we're making sure that you're basically not going past knee deep water, and you're with a coach, but you're on a soft top. We removed the leashes, so basically it was more about like board control skills. Hold on to this thing first and foremost, don't lose it. But then just having like a time limit so that students didn't have to manage themselves, pretty much. Like we mm-hmm. need to be the coaches and manage them. We were doing 20 minute laps. Coach was at headquarters on the deck, and I was in the water, and we were just doing these 20 minute laps, and it was running really efficiently, and it wasn't letting students get to the point where they really are exhausted and where you start getting really sloppy. Things can get kind of bad if you start getting sucked into a riptide and you're gassed.
Right.
So right. We were really managing all that well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny point, because I remember in previous years, and even when I look at my notes of like, okay, here's the list of things I want to say to our students on day one at dinner, you know, the top thing on that list is pace yourself. Hey, pace yourself, guys. Every year, why do I say this? Because people always overdo. It doesn't matter if I say it, they still don't pace themselves.
Right.
But it gave me a realization to like, that's our job, you know, we're the coach. The coach is the one that pulls you out of the game, you know, and sends in the sub. And I just, you know, becoming a coach is also, or being a coach is also a growing process. And I loved that realization for ourselves that we have to do that. We have to show the, you know, like, okay, swap it out. And not even just call them out, but set that in place in the beginning. Like we're doing 20 minutes each here, guys. So like, they're going into the water knowing this only lasts 20 minutes. And then I feel like it almost helps your passion about what you're doing. You know, there isn't like this no end in sight, or when should I go in, and like this question mark. It's like it's 20 minutes long and then that's it. It's over, like no going over. So I feel like for that 20 minutes, you can really apply yourself and put your whole heart into it, you know, and really, you know, figure some things out. And then that's it. Then you're out. And it was just, it really, it was a happy moment for me standing up, because it was after week one And on week two, day one, being there and watching you do your work and talking with the four that were with us on the deck while two are out in the water with you. And it was just like, wow, this is how a coach would, like a good coach would control his team.
Right.
You know, this is how it would be done with organization, with a plan, with a purpose, you know, and it just set the tone for us and for our students so immediately and clearly.
Yeah, and it was a great time. Another one of these notes is, you know, everybody comes with different equipment. Some people are borrowing equipment. Some are bringing their own stuff. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have to trust your coaches. Sometimes we're going to want to see what you look like on a bigger board. Sometimes we're going to want to see what you look like on a smaller board. And it was just fun to kind of, you know, me coming from a board building background, it kills me to see somebody struggling on, say, too little foam. So you're definitely going to hear from me. And then I always got backup with coach here, but just be willing, you know, to try something new. This is a great opportunity to try some new equipment and see if we can get you a little bit more dialed. Cause as you always hear us say, it's not going to make everything all better, but it can make things significantly better if you're on the right craft for your level.
Right. I mean, it kind of goes both ways too, because we always say it's not the board. And so, but in the sense of like, well, what I'm thinking about, let me clarify here. I'm thinking of MVP again, Edgar. And he was riding the Jerry, basically the Wavestorm, all week. Maybe last day was on that 9-foot soft top, yep, which is just a little bit more of a refined surfboard, but still kind of crude. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to see him get the handle on that, do the same principles, do the same skills that we do on real boards. And the idea being, he's taking that, he's going to take that and apply it to the boards he has and maybe realize like, oh, okay, this is how it should feel. Maybe I have too small a board, or maybe I have too this, or maybe my board's just fine, but this is what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I really liked how the faith he had. He didn't like thumb his nose at the foamy. He didn't, you know, it was just like, I'll do whatever I'm told. I'm just going to keep practicing what we're doing in this particular lesson plan. And again, and it all came together, and it wasn't, you know, he was doing it on a fairly crude board,
yeah,
getting the best rides. It was like really fun to see, because that's what we could do. You give us a Jerry Lopez Costco board, whatever, and we'll still get an epic long ride from top to bottom of the point. You know,
yep,
we'll do it in the beach break. We'll do it on the reform. We'll find a little nugget that's coming through that you can barely see in position right under it as it ledges over on the sand, because it's the surfer. You know, you should be able to do this no matter what the board. Yeah. And then of course, you know, being able to explore with the students with the different boards and help them to find out like, okay, you need a little more or a little less.
Yeah. And it reminds me of something we have on our notes. Like a lot of the students are like, they're almost like scared to talk to me about boards because they've heard us kind of rip on surfers for making such a big deal about their equipment and blaming it on their equipment. So they're like kind of scared to talk to me about a custom board or what they should be riding. But really, I mean, we are opinionated, but we're always, you know, we're always willing to rap with you about boards. And really the thing that I wanted to hit on was that I'm down to build a custom board for anyone who's actually committed to their journey. You know, like I'm actually not that into building, you know, random boards that go all over the place and are wall hangers, because so much goes into them. But anybody who's truly looking to put their time in and put their years in, having a board that they love and that they worked with the builder for it to be good for their level and good for where they're going. I'm always down to do that. So I wanted to squash that.
Yeah, well, that's the characteristic. You said it's commitment, not skill. You know, I think that's what it is. Like people are like, oh, I got to get a little better before I'm ready for that board. And it's like, you need the commitment. That's what it takes. And if you have the commitment, it only gets that much stronger when it's custom and beautiful and just, you know, like made to fit. That's just such an incredible thing. And in any discipline, we know this, you know, like it's just such a special thing to have custom tools.
One of our last little notes here is the importance of the press up. And I really do want to hit it here and now so that listeners can basically go and start putting in the time in the whitewater and really dialing this in, because both trips we ended up doing a hell of a lot of press up rail set practice, and we're going to do it no matter what. But it would be nice to see some people coming into the trip basically having already started this journey as far as really learning how to incorporate this press up rail set into basically every little wave that you catch, and the intricacies of it and how dynamic it really is. And because at some point it might, I don't know which week, I think it was week one, I was like, wow, we're doing a lot of press up rail practice, and basically we can't continue on because we haven't hit our marks in that area. And this is even with experienced surfers. So I was almost starting to question, is this how we get them to being real surfers and going down the line and getting a complete ride that we in a complete loop that we're after. And it was just, it was so great to see, some of our students on the second week who really practiced that press up rail set, and then all of a sudden they were on the open face. They did have the time to get up into their stand up smooth with good foot positioning and really get these great rides and be in the position to shut them down and wrap them up with a dismount. It was like, it was another aha moment, even though that's happened to us so many times.
Totally. You know, I just, this one is a strong one for me. Like I am not shy about it anymore, at least. Cause I, like you, there was definitely a phase where I'm like, oh my God, like what are people going to think when they see us doing this work, you know? But we're not like your traditional surf school, where when you go to their website, you see a picture of someone somehow standing there, well, maybe because it's just a huge board, their feet are anywhere, their stance is kind of funny, and the instructor in the back with the hands up. Like, it's not about that for us. We know you could stand on a giant board and go straight to the beach. Anybody can do that, especially if you're getting launched in. That's not what we're after. What we're after is like teaching you the essence of surfing, figuring out how to follow the pocket of a wave as it traverses down a point or traverses across a sandbar, and follow it and stay with it and be able to, because ultimately waves are following the bottom contours of the ocean. So essentially that's your job, like to follow the bottom contours and to stay with it. And you can't do that by just standing. There's all these other little elements to it. And the way we teach it before you become proficient about standing and doing it all at the same time is by staying in your press up posture and being in this. It's a powerful position that first of all, it's hard to keep doing over and over. Even we were getting tired and, like, you know, doing these nonstop press ups. So it's good for you as just a physical body and your fitness to be able to just keep pressing your body up and have a smooth stand up and not strain through that first initial part of standing up where you have to lift your body off your board with your arms. But also just the safety of it, where you're not getting so high up or trying to put your feet under you and potentially falling and ruining your chance at it. Mm-hmm. There's so many things. I feel like I could write a book about why press up rail set is like such an important, that should have been a pillar on that episode we did, the seven pillars of the surf continuum. Press up rail set.
It is.
It's a pillar of the surf continuum.
Absolutely.
And it's, but so rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And like everybody wants to poo-poo it, but I got some students in mind who are just star students and going down the line beautifully and standing, by the way, in the pocket, surfing beautifully like a proper real surfer. Like, you wouldn't know they're a surf lesson student surfer. Mm-hmm. You know, because they have this like true idea of what surfing is. Mm-hmm. And it's not standing per se, it's riding the wave properly. and seeing the wave while they ride it. You know, and that's the difference. Start, if you're listening to this episode, whether you're going on this trip or not, start looking at surfers with this potential distinction in mind. Like, are they a surfer just kind of staring ahead at where they're going towards the beach, or even slightly angled? It doesn't necessarily matter the direction as much as the intention. Or are they a surfer who is taking off on waves with their intention, their eyes set on a prize, and staying with it and maintaining a consistent speed? Because the wave has so much more to offer you if you stay in the right place of it. The pocket, you know, is what we're talking about. And that's what the rail set, the press up rail set teaches you, without introducing the risk of falling because you're trying to stand up.
I really like that. And that comes back to one of our points, is just like being able to get the most out of your little sessions, as far as stamina goes. Like, you're going to get gas pretty quick, and then that whole stand up is going to get really, really difficult. So go back to your press up rail set practice. You can do that, you know, even when you are gassed. Like, it's going to take a little bit more to lock out your elbows and really get into the proper form, but it's still a lot easier than going all the way up to your feet and then falling off the board and getting rolled and bringing the board back into you, flipping it around. This training practice of just staying in press up and not even worrying about your stand up on the inside in white waters, you're getting rolled around, you're staying with the board, and you're figuring out all sorts of like little board control skills. Again, mm-hmm. All this stuff comes before your stand up anyways. So you need to get so good at it. It needs to get so second nature, and it needs to be fun. You know, it really should be fun. We have a blast doing it. Wait till you see some of these clips of coaches. So
I can't wait to get through more of this footage and show us. We're riding whitewater with such a release, with such a like a fluidity, such a smoothness. And that's what you're after. And only then can you start experimenting with your stand-up and maintaining that. But if your stand-up is messing up that flow, it's messing up that glide, then you got to go back. You're still not doing it right, or not well enough to be able to stand upon that board that you maybe originally got going that well, but then ruin it with a poor stand-up. It's a big one.
No, major props to you, Coach, for really nailing down this press-up rail set practice. I know that it was something that we were doing that other surfers weren't, and definitely our students weren't doing. And then definitely, like, going back to our how we always come back to Boogie Land, it's just what we always talk about. If somebody is an adult learner coming to surfing, really, they should be learning how to catch whitewaters just in body surfing, and then learn how to set their rail on a boogie so that they know the feeling of driving themselves down the line versus just going straight towards the beach. And if you have those two things under your belt, you are well ahead of basically most people coming on these types of trips, or most people in the lineup.
Yeah, like anybody learning, you know, just looking at surfing and seeing people standing up on boards and riding and thinking, okay, that's what I have to do, and missing the whole essence, the whole idea of what surfing really is like flowing with the wave. And if you need any more justification, just look at some of the pro longboarders. Look at the best longboarders in the world and how they start their waves. So often it's in this elongated, pressed up moment, you know, where they're looking left and right and deciding how deep they're going to fade, or even which way they're going to go on this wave. You know, they really take their time, and there's something there. There's something to it. You know, why aren't they just jumping up? Why aren't they just throwing their feet under them, you know, and just standing? Because there's all these things we just mentioned. You know, the safety, the control, the flow. They're getting it started from a solid footing and then finally finding their feet and surfing beautifully. You know, so like if you don't want to take our word for it, just look up the best longboarders and watch how they start their waves. I don't know how often it is, but it's a high percentage of the beginning of their waves where they are like for seconds in their pressed up posture. And really like eyeing up the wave and figuring out, okay, how am I going to approach this? What line am I taking before I stand up?
and my last little closing is, you know, like we just detailed out why our trip is different and how it's going to be different if you come on it. But truth is, if you put in that time with us, a lot of our students, I feel, got some of the best waves of their life, you know, like the best
proper
rides of their life. So that's, we're not saying that stuff's not going to happen. It's going to naturally happen if you really put in the time with us in the whitewater, nailing down your fundamentals and getting your foundation super solid so that you can go and put point waves and good reef style waves like to proper use.
Right. Right. Yeah. And just in closing for me is, you know, I like to say this all the time, that speed and technique are two things that people might know they need, but speed is something that they try to have, like jump up to their feet, for example, you know, but when you practice for speed, you miss out on technique. When you practice for technique, speed automatically comes. You know, and like that's our approach to the trip. We are forcing you to work with us on your technique. And a lot of times that doesn't look like what you think surfing should look like. You know, it really throws you for a loop sometimes. Not always. And that's why in week two we were inspired to like, hey, we should make an MVP because this person is the perfect example of what like the most valuable student looks like. Just really trusting that process and not having us have to like every night explain why we're doing this and like, trust us, we promise you it's gonna pan out. And it just did. And getting the best rides on the last day was such a joy and a reaffirmation. Cause look, like I'm human, you know, like I doubt myself. I second guess like our, you know, what we're doing. I think that's also a proof of like, a good coach. Like I'm not just so stubborn, like, yes, this is the only way. No, I don't want to hear any other way. I'm always thinking like, okay, are we doing it right? Is this good? Is it not good? And I think that's where the evolution lies in our growth. But it just was such a pleasant thing for me to see like, yes, okay, this particular part of what we're doing is so on point. Practice your technique, focus on each individual thing. Do your slow stand-ups with us on the yoga mat at home. You know, do it mechanical and methodical and strange, because as it gets, you know, more and more comfortable and your hips learn how to find or help your feet find their footing and all the whatever things are holding you back in your stand-up, when you do it slow, you find them.
Yeah.
The speed comes. And when you do that with every little thing, just focus on the technique, the speed, the flow, it all comes automatically. But it won't automatically be beautiful if you just try to do it. You know, like the whole picture. Just try to catch a wave and stand up and go down the line. No way. It'll take you years longer that way versus if you, in 1 week, do your stand up a couple times with us on the beach or at the house. You know, we always talk about how funny it is to see people doing stand ups on the beach. But the truth is, I don't care where you do it.
Yeah.
Practice your stand up slowly, mechanically, methodically, step by step, as slow as you can. Be able to pause in any stage of your stand up and be comfortable about it. And then do it, you know, in the water after a bunch of those reps and it just watch the change happen.
Absolutely.
Great work, coach. Big props to you as well. I thought I was just so proud to see, you know, in moments where I was like, okay, is this good? Are we doing it right? Should we, just seeing you be so, you know, confident in our work. And it just was really uplifting to me to have that, you know, like support there. Because on these kinds of walks on yourself, when you're insisting on people do something that doesn't look like surfing and you know they're feeling that way sometimes, they're questioning it. You're like, oh, then you start questioning yourself and wondering if you should just give in and, you know, okay, here you go. Like do, you know, what you want. And many times I have, you know, like given into this in the past and then seeing them not do it. And you're like, no, I was right. We need to do rail set, press up rail sets again. It's an ongoing battle with myself. And I know for anybody who really cares about being good at what they do. But it just, it really brought, you know, happiness and confidence to me to see you like steadfast in our planning and our work.
Yeah, we're only turning up the dial and so proud of the work we're doing, and big props to everybody who joined this last 2 week trip. We're 1-1, but really, really proud of the team spirit that they brought. Everybody, you know, just listeners of the show, they were really tuned into our style of teaching and really open-minded to getting to experience Law Miss and those surrounding breaks the way we did. It was a blast. Thanks for the support. Well, team, this is such a proper feast to wrap a hell of a week up. So stoked to have you all. And I'm so glad you joined us.
For better times and for more barrel for everyone, okay? We need barrel for everyone. More barrel. Yeah. Salud.
You got
plenty
of beer,
Mark.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I was telling these guys the next time I surf by myself, I would have like the three voices in my head of Chris and Ev and Mariano.
Heck yeah.
Talking to me.
I mean, I hope it's in a positive way, right?
Yeah, a positive way. You know, whatever.
Okay, press up, rail set, get barreled.
Get barreled. And then Mariano, go!
Get barreled. And then when I do something kooky, I'll hear
Steven!
Which can be very motivating.
I don't know. Somehow I feel like if I do something kooky, I'm still gonna hear Steve.
I know, that's how crazy it is.
That's awesome.
Oh man. But you know, I haven't fallen off my boards that much, you know, since then. So there's gotta be some motivating factor there.
You know, surf, that's why I say it's a lifestyle. Life sometimes takes you on a road where it's gonna be difficult, sometimes it's gonna be easy. Sometimes it's gonna be between hard and easy. Surf is about that. You can go out, it's gonna be a really clean day, it's gonna be beautiful. You can be on a really bad day and maybe you will get barreled without even knowing that it was a bad day, but it was good. So always trust in yourself, be positive, and enjoy the process. Because if you don't enjoy it, what is life?
Yeah.
You know?
You're here.
Wise words.
Salud.
Thank you.
Team.
Team one.
Team one. That's right.
So yeah, that's all I need to say.
Love it.
Great.
Coaches coach each other too. A lot.
Well, I learned a lot from you guys. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm always grateful for having you. That's why I say bigger friends, bigger group, grateful to have friends like you guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No more beer for me, okay? No, just kidding, just kidding.
We're just about to go light this bonfire. Come on, let's go. Right on. Full gas. Full gas. Yeah. Full gas. Full gas. Full gas. Full
gas.
The restaurant to Jack.
I know. Jack has been killing it all week.
Put it up to Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jack. Lunch lady, Jack. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we got protein going.
Lunch lady, here
you. That's it, Jack. A lot of duck fat.
This is Spanish Coffee House playlist on Spotify. That's why.
Perfect.
Okay, what I want to hear about,
you don't have to answer right now.
Yeah.
Most humbling moment on the trip. It doesn't have to be right now. You can just call it out.
Most humbling moment. For me, I think it might have been that first paddle out at TB's. When it was like... Yeah, it was looking doable. Let's go on the doable. And then as soon as we got in the water, it was pretty clear that doable was at the very end of third peak and way on the inside and still in a riptide.
You know, it was like, it was so much work. Hardly ever seen it like, it was, like that.
It was kind of like, why the hell did we drive all the way up here and do all this just to do the same thing we could have done out front?
Yes.
I was going to say that time too, like that first time at TB's because, but until we figured out like a rotation.
Yeah.
And like then like I feel like we got a sweet spot in it.
It felt
like worth all the work that it took to get out there, but it was still like still pounding nonetheless. And it was just like, all right, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah, that humbled us pretty quick and it made us like get ready for what was to come in the coming days because it wasn't going to be dropping much.
For sure. And every single day that we came to TB's, including this morning, when it really looked approachable and doable, everybody was like, yeah, but remember that time we thought that before? It was really, we got fucking worked on the insides.
Yes.
So it was actually a really cool lesson too in just approaching a surf spot with like total like reverence and like, I'm not going to make any assumptions, you know.
Learn it from the ground up really, really slowly.
I believe, maybe I'm crazy, I don't know, but I believe the ocean is alive. And I think the ocean provides something for you guys today because the ocean side too that you guys were putting effort on it, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it's a spot that it's always teddy bears, you know? I don't think there's a better way to say it. But dude, today, even what the soil report was saying, I think it provided more than what we were expecting.
Totally.
And now I think that's because of the energy that everyone is putting on it, you know? I think the ocean was like, okay guys, you guys deserve it.
Absolutely.
Boom.
This morning was really, really good.
And you know, that's nature. It can be a pretty day, or it can be a stormy day. It can be a windy day, or it can be a chill day. That's nature. And you guys saw it in Baja. We have all weathers on 1 week.
One day.
Yeah. Raining, windy, sunny, glassy, and muddy. You know? So, that's the beauty of nature.
Yeah. That's absolutely what I've learned from growing up here and surfing this break and over and over and over and through all the different seasons is when you put in the time like that and get to know a place intimately, then you start seeing those signs that no other surfers see when they pull up to the beach. That's why everybody drives past this beach.
Yep.
They don't know what they're looking at or for, and we're out here putting in the time and finding those tiny little pockets of when the wind and the tide and everything comes together. And sometimes it's only for 30 minutes or 45 minutes.
Yep.
And then it kind of gets dispersed again. And you got to kind of restart the next day.
The one humbling moment for me actually was in a strange way this morning. You know, and like seeing it's kind of a different take on a humbling moment, I think. It's just may be more so why you be humble. And because one of the things I noticed is when we approached it this morning and it looked so approachable, it looked so good, it looked so glassy, and everybody was still reluctant to say like, oh my god, it looks great, yeah. Because that's what we did the first day, as we said earlier, and got totally shown up by the ocean. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, that's what I want to see develop in people and surfers, is coming to the ocean with respect, even when it looks so good and doable. And there were still sets that took us out, you know, even today when it really was truly doing its teddy bear thing.
It was beautiful out there, to be honest. Like, I complain about teddy bears a lot. And today I was like, what? And I mean, it's always good. It's always good, but you guys saw me, and that's why I said it the first day. I'm the test right here. I'm not the coaches, remember. I'm just testing everyone, pushing everyone a little bit more. But I think everyone forgot about that. Because then they were like, yeah, Mariano. And I'm like, dude, I'm testing everyone, remember? Like I said it the first day.
Follow me up to the first point.
I'm just testing everyone. You know, I was just testing everyone. Pero you guys saw me. I'm really hyper. I always want to go for the short board. So I want to take...
Green board.
Okay, now I'm green board. So to me, I've been learning a lot too with these two guys. And me, the humble way to do it is that everyone has the patience to support me. I think I will say that. That will be the humblest thing that I think I saw on this trip. That you know how I am. I'm like, yeah, this and that and everything. And then I want my shortboard. But everyone was trying to help me at the same time. Hey, take the green board. Come on. Already Evan said it, you know? And I understand on the timing too, because I wanted to do cutbacks and I wanted to do this. And I think I got the best ways on the green board. I enjoy it so much, you know? So thanks to you guys too, you know? Because it's not just you guys are learning. I'm learning too. So thank you for that.
You
appreciate
know.
It.
You are fun to watch, sir.
Gracias.
So fun.
Gracias.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds like I got a feeling.
You're just coming from Arthur. Did he treat you good, bro? Okay, that's all true. Yeah, that's all the true.
Yeah, most humbling experience on the trip. Go to see Art.
Absolutely.
Life changing.
Yeah, I was definitely humbled this morning, right there with Mariano and Coach Chris, looking out at that beautiful beach break situation offshore, so many options, and just kind of, we made the decision, just put our hands up, put it in your guys' lap. You guys make the decision, because it's a big decision, you know? It's a 50-50. You know, to get over there, and maybe it's no wind and goes onshore super quick, and we missed both spots at their prime. But I was pleasantly surprised to see what we rolled up on today, and to see you guys really put it together. You guys went out there on your own, kept space for the most part, and got waves, and surfed that break, and spread out through that whole break, and just like. So many of those clips, the first person that we start on, we go through, and then by the time we're done with that, somebody else is setting up another wave out there. So it really was so cool to see you guys. But that place to use, you know, get into a lot more, like your consistency on setting up waves and getting into waves. Same deal. When I went back and looked at my clips, there was like, there's like two throwaways out of like 12 little clips. I was like, I'm pretty impressed.
We had a nice discussion this morning. We waited for everybody. And yeah.
Had a powwow.
Some people were here, some people were there, and we all decided, well, we can always come back here. So let's just go there, and if it's shitty, then we can turn around and come back here. You know, like, but yeah, it was a good powwow.
Good eyes on it.
Yeah.
That kind of ties into my most humbling experience on this trip, which was yesterday. Everyone waited, thank you so much for me on the bluff, like just watching as I sat out there. Like, I mean, yesterday was super frustrating for the first 3 hours in the sense of like, just being in the wrong, just not being on the peak, being too like far from the peak, being right on the peak and just not catching much all day. And when I got, when we got to the beach in the morning, I looked and I was just like, I'm gonna get like 20 waves today. It's gonna be amazing. And then like, you know, 45 minutes in, like the panic starts setting in and I start, you know, fiending and getting anxious and I spiraled really bad. But when everyone else was out of the water at this point, and I was like sitting out there just waiting for just one wave just to like finish the day out on a positive. And that's what I was thinking about, was like, today doesn't really matter that much. Like, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Exactly. So it's all good. And I'm going to be teaching my children how to do this. And like, it's going to be part of like... a path
like
in life, you know.
But you not just
then,
need that information, you know.
Yeah.
You not just need it to yourself.
Because, like, my background is very much around like performance-driven sports, and like, what was your time?
what was like your achievement? Like, what's the, what's your quantitative measurement for all this work that you put in?
Your progress.
Yeah. And surfing is just like always a moving target from like 1 year of doing this. And yeah, just sitting out there being like, I mean, what I was thinking was like, you know what, man? You're going to be doing this for the rest of your life. So just, if you don't get anything today, it's okay. You know? Yep. And then sure enough, like I got a great way to finish the day. And I'm not saying those things were related, but I do think that there was like a
the ocean is alive, believe me. Yeah, it's alive. And when you're putting negative energy out there, because believe me, sometimes I'm pissed and I'm like, I'm going to go surf and get better. No, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because the ocean is like, no, you came to just clean yourself here? Heck no. You're coming to enjoy me. Like, you know, like, okay, I'll give you away, but you're being negative and this. For me, the ocean house is alive. It's alive, actually. Because it's moving itself. It's creating a lot of life inside of the ocean, too. And it's providing us everything we need. Like, sometimes we're so far away thinking, oh, the Amazon brings us everything. Oh, the jungle. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't. But the ocean is the first thing that we should think about. Our thermostat, so we don't get actually a lot of heat, because it actually absorbs all the energy from the sun to keep us warm. I mean, not, well, on the level. Provides the oxygen, provides food. And it evaporates and creates rain so we can have fresh water. So if you guys look at it that way, the ocean brings everything to us. Everything, pretty much, to survive, to be alive.
Yeah. That actually brings up a great point of how this trip really began, because it was just friends at first, dude. The first time that Coach Ev invited all the crew out from Montauk, when he saw Grandma's house on the East Coast Grandma, and the same style. Everybody would always go there. Grandma was always inviting. Everybody was allowed to like pitch tent, you know, whatever you needed to be able to get an extra surf in, get an extra meal, and just stretch your trip a little longer. Grandma helped you do. Yeah. So he was like, oh, you gotta come out to West Coast. It reminds me so much of my grandma's house. And so like 20 of us came. Like, I wonder if you were expecting that, but we all were like, okay. Everybody happened to be able to do it that particular week. And we all came out and we cooked together and we surfed together, got our asses beat together. It was the first year I surfed La Mission and I got worked the entire week. And it was the beginning of this family, fun, but hard work, but pays off, but all these counterbalancing, you know, principles and themes that really land, you know, and like make you remember a trip, not just a vacation, quote unquote,
right.
You know, like absolutely. A really impactful time with friends, with nature, with good food, and doing it and making it all happen together, you know, just little by little, these, you know, they've evolved actually to be closer to that original one. You know, because at first it kind of was like, okay, how do we make this surf trip? But it came full circle back to doing it like this. I don't think it took very long for us to make that full circle. And it always kind of had this element, but yeah, and that also just makes me super grateful and appreciative of everybody that comes and does this. Like, you guys have to trust us to pick you up. You know, you're flying here and just trusting us to pick you up, drive you across the border. You know, all these little details, like, oh, don't do this, don't do that, bring this, bring that, you know, and just like, okay, just kind of,
no worries,
trust us. And I know that's a big deal, especially for a full week, it's not just a day. So, thank you guys, really appreciate that. It makes me feel really proud that you trust us to do that for you, you know, and kind of put your hands up and we're willing to surrender. Like, you don't drive, you don't have a car, you don't have like a quick escape route. That's big. That's a big show. Like, you could say thank you all you want, but coming on this trip and having that attitude is like the biggest sign of your like feeling towards us, and that I can't like overlook easily. It's so awesome for us. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on that. Just like give you guys major props, because your team has put in more time out here in 1 week out in front of the house at La Mess than any of the groups. Like, bar none. And so that being said, we actually had a little discussion and we pulled out an MVP out of this group. And we wanna honor Edgar for coming in hot, not coming in too hot, but coming in with like, and encompassing everything that we kind of like talked about at the first night at the table, as far as no ego and like really embodying that team spirit. And so wanna call you out.
Yeah. And there's a couple reasons for that. This list.
Yeah,
like,
you got to.
Yeah, we do. We have a couple of, thoughts on why this was. And actually, and everybody, it was like a close second for everybody else, you know, because you all had the same qualities and same, characteristics. But yeah, Edgar was the one who did them all, always. And it was like, it was a standout. And yeah, no ego, you said, was like one of the first ones.
Yes.
Practicing, we have video, I'm scrolling through the video. You know, just like scrubbing through, and it's like nonstop footage. It isn't highlighted the way it is when I give it to you guys. We have just like endless paddling and this and that and sitting, falling off your board. And what does this guy do? And Edgar's out the back doing sitting turns. prone turn. And not that you guys also don't do that too, but just constantly, I keep seeing him doing that. The press up, you know? I know everybody wants to stand up. We want you to stand up. Trust me, we want you to stand up, but as long as you know how to control it. But just the patience he had about doing the press up to the point where we're yelling, you hear it on the video, stand up, you've done it, stand up.
You're flying now. You got your wings.
Stand up. But it was just like a good show of the humility to be willing to keep doing the basics, you know, like continue with that.
Because truthfully, you were getting that dynamic press up going, where a lot of you guys are having more of a static press up, where you kind of lock out and stay there, and you're not doing as much forward and back and the joystick. But since you spent so much time on it, we just really started to see some great signs there. And then also something that we loved was just you propping up the team. You know, like we could hear you in the lineup, like hooting for peeps, checking in on Dev. That one practice up today.
I think Dev.
Why do you keep paddling away from
us? I was gonna say, I think Edgar thought I was annoyed with them because I was just trying to get my own place there. I was like,
no, but that's huge, and that's like the most valuable player is someone not just valuable to the coaches, but valuable to the team.
Yeah.
You know, checking in with you guys, and that was really, again, not that you guys didn't have these qualities too, but it was a standout with you, Edgar. Another one was every time I got up on the roof and looked down, Edgar was there. You guys all helped, you all did, but every time, Edgar, and a few times when it was just me and Edgar, right?
So congratulations, everyone!
Put it up to Edgar.
Congratulations
everyone else on second place.
This margarita stand, by the way, is delicious.